passage that talks about that. And I want to read that passage, and then I'm going to ask somebody to come in a moment and share with you one of those defining moments in their life when they made a decision to trust God in the way that the Bible tells us to. You know, because we each have those. You remember a time in your life when it was almost as though God were just speaking to you, even if you didn't hear an audible voice, where that you knew, this is the way. But there was, if I do this, then I got to do things different than I've done them before. And I'm afraid. I don't know what this looks like. Let's look at this passage together today in Proverbs 3, 1 through 3. It says, "My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and men. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with the first fruits of all your produce. And then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father the son in whom He delights." You know, as we go through this passage, he talks about trusting Him with all your heart and acknowledging Him and not being wise in your own eyes. And he moves right from that into verse 9, where he says, "Honor the Lord with your wealth and with all of your produce." You know, that's one of the hardest things when people begin to talk about tithing. They begin to talk about being faithful. And we wonder, Lord, will we have enough if we do this? But it's one of the few places where God gives us an invitation and He says, "Trust me, try me, prove me in this." And it's so hard sometimes when you feel like you're living right on the edge anyway. But I want to ask Jerry Leach if he would today to come and share with us his experience and when he came to that point of being able to trust God in that way. I want to pray for you before you start. Father, I just come and lift Jerry up to you. I pray, let him honor you and be pleasing to you, Father. And let his words be a blessing to the people that are here today and bring glory to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Brother Eddie. Talk about being nervous. Brother Eddie approached me last Sunday about this. Had all week to think about it. Talked to the Lord, and it was a big, big struggle for me in the beginning of our marriage. First thing I like to do is just thank the Lord for Linda. She's been a wife that has stood by me, not in front of me, not behind me, but beside me. I've done a lot of things that I shouldn't have done, said a lot of things I shouldn't have said. I knew what to do because I was raised in church. I went to church, I knew about tithing, I knew about honoring your wife, family, most important, honoring Him. When I got 18 years old and went out in this world, and I didn't do that. And then I met Linda. She had the prettiest smile and hooked me just like that. And I'm still hooked to today. So thank you, baby doll, for hanging in there with me. So folks, I don't really know how to do this other than just jump right in the middle of it and tell you about our lives and our struggles that we've had. And since I made that decision, Linda, the blessings we have received on the other side. So I'm on the wrong side of the fence. And we got married. And you know, here comes the bill pouring in. And I'd look at the money. Now, Linda wanted to tithe right off the bat. I would look at it and just add it up. And, you know, it just didn't, it wouldn't work. And I would say, well, not this weekend. Now, this went on for years. This is not just a little while. And then we started tithing a little bit, she asked. And we started tithing. And sometimes we could do a little bit and 5% and 10%. But a lot of times, we just didn't have the money. And our marriage was on the rocks. And in the summer of 95, it had come to a point. And I knew I loved Linda. And I knew she loved me. But we had troubles. And out behind the shop in the backyard one day, that I talked to the Lord. I cried out to him because I had just done everything. I just didn't know what to do, say. It just wasn't working out financially, anything. So I cried out to him. I said, Father, I need your help. I need your help here. I love Linda, but I'm scared to death. What am I going to do? And he said, just like Brother Eddie said a while ago, just like I'm talking to you guys now, he said, give me a chance. Give me a chance, Jerry. Try me. Everything you've done has failed. Why not? So I said, okay, Lord. I turned my life over to him. I rededicated my life. And just like Brother Eddie said, your life changes. Everything then was to focus on him and him only. Leave me out of it. Go straight ahead. Go forward. So I went in the house and talked to Linda. And told her that I loved her. She said she loved me back. I told her, I said, baby doll, I can't change the things that I've said. I can't change the things that I've done. I've done them. I said, but I can change the future with the Lord's help. I took my foot and I drew a line. I said, I'm going to step across this. I said, we can wrap ourselves with a loaf. Put him between us. And wrap ourselves with him. And from then on, that's the way it's been. At that point, I had looked at that 100% that we had been having. And I had some good jobs and it paid well. I just wasn't doing my part. And there were some jobs that didn't pay well. But still, it was all my fault. That 100% was not working. But now on this side of the fence, putting the Lord first in our life and in our marriage, he took 85% and done a miracle with it. The first time she wrote our check, I was nervous as a cat on a hot tin roof. But folks, it went through. And it kept going. And you know what the miracle, one of the miracles was? Before, we didn't have the money to go buy a Coke or a hamburger. It wasn't there. We were making bills a lot of times. A lot of times we wasn't. But we didn't have the luxury of just going to McDonald's or whatever. It wasn't there. Now we're on his side of the fence, the 85%. We give a tithe and offering off the top, the first fruit. Anything comes in our house then and now, that's the way it is. Plus a love offering. And lo and behold, we started having some extra money. We started buying things, having things, going places that we wasn't able to go. And all it was putting him first in our life, in everything. Financially, our marriage, our homes, everything we had, vehicles. So, you know, when you step across that line and you put him first in your life, in your marriage, young people, please don't make those mistakes that I made. Because he will take you, he will open doors, he will bless you, He will give you favor with people in your job that you didn't think you'd ever have, let alone there's no way that I could have this or I could do this. I don't have the education. I don't have this. He will open them wide open for you. And that's what has happened in our life. And one of the biggest things that I get a blessing out of is sometimes we're able to have enough money to help other folks. And that's what we're supposed to do. Not all the time, but every now and then have a little extra when there's somebody being put on our heart to do for them. You know what else happened? We couldn't even save any money on that side of the fence. But on this side of the fence, we had a little savings account, and it got bigger and bigger. And doing all this, I'm saying, it still blows my mind to today. And then we had a little account over here for a rainy day. You know, you're going to have batteries. Anybody have a battery ever didn't work, you know? And it's going to go put you down at the worst time. Tires, refrigerators, weed eaters, lawnmowers. Had that over on the side. I didn't do that on my own. He told me and Linda how to do this. Put it away for those times. Now, in the beginning of our marriage, now, the first thing she done when she married me, she married into debt. Because I was owed a vehicle, somebody I had co-signed for, and he didn't follow up on his part of it. And so we bought and paid for a car that we didn't even use or even get to drive. Let that be a lesson. It was a lesson for me. That didn't happen anymore. It was a very expensive lesson. Now, doing all this, God is, I didn't think God could use me because I had been so bad. My rags were so dirty. But when you cross that line, He starts opening doors for you to serve Him, to serve the church, to help people. And in Malachi 3, verses 8, 9, and 10, he says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithe and offerings." That's what I had done. "You are cursed with a curse. For you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house, and prove me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you the blessings that will not be room enough for you to receive." That has happened to us. We went on, and we know the blessings are from Him because we've been on the other side of the fence. He will bless you if you just let Him. There's a song that I remember from long ago that I love, and I'm going to try to get it as close to the right mark as I can. But it says, "Trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey." Tithes and offerings is an opportunity for us to trust in Him, to give Him, to try Him. He will open doors. He will give you favor. And there will be blessings beyond your imaginations. And I can truly say that that's what He's done in our marriage, simply by me, the husband, obeying His commands and loving Him and giving Him a try. Thank you.
You know, I have I've been planning to do the series that I'm starting now, which is just going to be three sermons and talking about giving and tithing. And as I was thinking through that, I thought, you know, what people really need to hear is the story of people that have experienced what it means to take God at His word. And I know from serving with Jerry as a deacon in our church, I knew his heart and I knew his testimony. But honestly, you know, I'd been praying through, who am I going to get to share? And last Sunday when I walked up and saw Jerry, it's like the Lord said, you're it. One thing Jerry has joked with me about over the years, he said, you got to be careful or Brother Eddie will give you opportunities. Jerry, I want to thank you for just sharing your heart, but sharing openly. You know, a lot of times we want to share our successes, but we don't want to talk about the struggles. But it's coming from those struggles into the successes that makes it so good. It's coming from one place where that things weren't working and going to another place where they do and realizing that it's God who made the difference and that He loves you enough to do that. And so let's go back and we're going to look at the importance of trusting God out of Proverbs 3, 1 through 12 today. And as we do this, I want to go back and I want to read this passage again. You know, this is a passage in part that a lot of people learn. Probably when I've talked to people about their favorite verses, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make your path straight, is the favorite passage of a lot of people. And I think it's a, listen, I don't think you can go wrong with the Scripture, but I think it's a good place to start. I think it's a wonderful place to start. Let's read it all together. My son, do not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. For length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck and write them on the tablet of your heart, so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and turn away from evil. It will be healing to your flesh and refreshment to your bones. Honor the Lord with your wealth and with your first fruits of all your produce. Then your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will be bursting with wine. My son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of His reproof. For the Lord reproves him whom He loves as a father, the son in whom He delights. When we begin to unpack this passage, there are several things that I want you to see where God blesses when we choose to be obedient to Him. And I want you to understand, I said I was doing a series on tithing and giving, but if you read this passage, you realize that the word tithe is not there, and you also realize that the whole passage is not about finances. That's intentional. Because I want you to understand that just giving 10% of your income doesn't make you right with the Lord, that it's about really giving all of yourself. And that's just a part of it when we do that. If you didn't catch that in Jerry's testimony, the key thing that he gave and was that he had a marriage that was struggling. He said, Lord, I want to give this to you. I want to honor you in the way that we live together. In the way that we experience life, acknowledge Him in all of your ways. So let's begin to look at this. As we work our way through the passage, first of all, I want you to understand God will bless those who trust Him. As we start in those first couple of verses, He says, but let your heart keep my commandments for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. And I can tell you that today we live in a culture, we live in a society where anxiety, depression, these are things that I've dealt with in my own life, are rampant. Now, these things can have a number of different causes, but I want you to understand that the Lord can help in the cure with those causes. And so He says, I'll bless you with peace. So I'll bless you with life. And I want to ask the question, how many of you have come to a point where that in your life you've recognized that, boy, it was a mess, you were anxious, you were worried, you didn't know what was coming tomorrow, but you've experienced turning it over to the Lord and then all of a sudden getting some of that peace? Now, your circumstances hadn't changed. You're still facing all the things that you were facing, but all of a sudden, where there was everything else, now there's some peace. There's the ability to lay down and to get a night's rest. Have you ever had that? You ever been at that place, at that point? And that's what He says. He says, if you will not forget my teaching, but let your heart keep my commandments. But not only this, God will bless those who love Him and love others. Notice what He says in verse 3. He says, let not steadfast love and faithfulness forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. And so you will find favor and good success in the sight of God and man. Whenever we begin to say, Lord, I know that in my own life, I don't really know how to love anybody. That's one of the things that we deal with in Re-Engage, is coming to the fact, because of our sinfulness and our brokenness, when you have a marriage, no matter how much you say you love each other, you've got two sinful people that are coming together, and each of them have their hang-ups and their hurts, and they bring that into it. And so that makes it difficult, because, you know, here's what happens when you begin a marriage relationship a lot of times. You know, one of the things that I require if I do a wedding is premarital counseling. Generally, there are a few exceptions, but generally, I won't do a wedding if a couple doesn't have time to sit down and talk about the importance of the relationship. Other than coming to know Jesus, this is the second most important relationship that you're ever going to have in your life. Then I won't be a part of that. If we don't have enough time to talk about God being a part of that, then I don't want to be a part of that and bless it. I do my best, and I can't control everybody, but when I do a wedding, I don't want to tie a slip knot. I'm tying a cinch to try to get it to last. And so when we begin to look at these relationships, people come in and they say, oh, Brother Eddie, we're in love. It's going to all be all right. It's going to all be all right. Well, wait till you've lived with them for a little while. 2 or 3 years later, they're back in my office. Earlier, they were so in love, they could just eat each other up, and now they're trying to eat each other up. He says, let steadfast love and faithfulness to not let it forsake you. Bind them around your neck. Write them on the tablet of your heart. For us to love people that way, we need the help of God. And we need to be able to say, Lord, I want to follow you and I want to do this your way. You see, that's a part of that testimony that was shared. Lord, I've been doing it my way. I was on this side of the line. And Lord, I've been over here for a long time and I'm really in a mess. But Lord, I want to step across. And not just in tithing, but in every way. I want to begin to show my love for you, show my love for my wife. And you know, when you begin to do that, then you begin to, it's hard not to like somebody that really shows you that they love you. It's hard when people do their best and they care and you see it. And he says, so you'll find favor with God and with man. But not only that, God will bless those who trust Him more than themselves. God will bless those who trust Him more than themselves. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He will make straight your paths. There are some of you here today that still aren't at a point of accepting this. God knows better than you. It's kind of like when we are children and we're growing up. If you've got teenagers, it may be that right now you're the dumbest person in the world. When I was a teenager, my daddy was the dumbest man I'd ever met. About the time I hit 40, I realized he was a whole lot smarter. I wish it had been earlier in life. But the thing is, the Bible says that God is our Heavenly Father. Do we struggle with that? Do we struggle with saying, God, you know, if I really turn everything over to you, if I really begin to set aside what I'm thinking. Let me tell you, some people are afraid. I had somebody be candid with me about it the other day. And they said, I really was afraid God was going to send me to be a missionary in Africa if I said, Lord, do whatever you want. Listen, I'm going to tell you that 99% of you are not going to go out on the mission field. But you already live on the mission field where God wants to use you. Where God wants to make a difference. And He wants to work in your life for you to be a blessing to others and to be a blessing to your community and to bring glory to Him in the world. So when we look at this, trust the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him. Let me ask you this. Just think about this for a moment. Where are you not acknowledging Him today? And why? Are you afraid? In the area of giving and tithing, are you afraid that if you give or if you tithe, that you won't have enough to do the things that you want? Or maybe even more strictly than that, you're worried about whether you will have grocery money. I mean, there have been times when that was the issue. You know, if I write this check today, that means I don't go to Walmart in the morning. And you know, there have been times when we follow through on that and what we have found at our house. You look at me. Do I look like I ever starved? God's been faithful. He's been faithful, and He has provided when we've said, Lord, we will put You first. We'll put You first. But maybe putting Him first puts you at a place where there's something you really want. I'm going to meddle a little bit now. There's something you really like to do. If we're Southern men, I'm going to tell you now, there was a time in my life when hunting was really important to the point that if it was a choice between going and getting the gun that I wanted and writing a check to the Lord, guess who won? I was going to get that gun. If it was a choice between being in the hunting club or tithing. And you say, I'm picking on myself here. And some of you may say, Brother Eddie, you quit meddling with me. I knew a lady once who told me, she says, Brother Eddie, I tithe, but she says, I love shoes. I absolutely love shoes. And she says, I get that check, that Social Security check, and she says, when I write that, I think, Lord, that could be another pair of shoes. She says, I'm like Imelda Marco. I've got shoes in my closet that I don't ever wear. She says, but I just want to buy some more. Maybe it's an appearance of keeping up with somebody else. You're afraid if you give that means you won't be able to look as affluent. Maybe God's give you a Chevrolet budget, but you're driving a Cadillac because you know that's kind of the vehicle to have today. I once had an older pastor that used to pastor in the Delta, and he says, you know the status of the families in the Delta according to who can buy the nicest Cadillac to take out in the field and get the most mud on it. That was from a few years back, he said. He said, but that's what you look at and what you see. So where's the area in your life? what's the area in your life where you're saying, Lord, I'll trust you everywhere but here? Whatever the motive. Because he wants you to acknowledge him in all the ways. And I want you to understand, you may be tithing right now and not really experiencing the blessing of that because you're thinking, oh, I'm giving this money, but you're not giving him everything else. Jesus once confronted the Pharisees and he commended them on the fact of their tithing, but he says you ought also to remember the weightier matters. I want you to know that tithing is not a magic bullet. There are some people that preach and teach that if you tithe, you're going to be blessed by God. I want you to know tithing is a part of a total picture of surrendering self. And it makes perfect sense because the Bible says where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. If God really has your heart, guess what? He's got your pocketbook. It's just like having grandchildren. I had one of the men in the church in South Louisiana that was had been an oil field worker. He was about 6'6", and when I would shake his hand, it would just engulf my hands. One of these guys that you're almost afraid to shake hands with because sometimes he would just squeeze and you'd like, oh, okay, you're more man than I am. There's no doubt about it. But he said, when I had my children, he said, I thought, well, you know, I tried to take care of them. And it was, he said, when I had this granddaughter, he said, she just walks up to me and bats them eyes, and she said, I don't ask her what she needs. I just pull my billfold out and give it to her. She said, as big as I am, she can get anything I got when she comes and she asks for it because she's got his heart. And when God's got our heart, then there isn't anything we're not willing to surrender. And so when we look at this, we see that he blesses those who trust him more than themselves. But also God will bless those who trust him with their possessions. Who trust him with their possessions. Whether it's money or whether it's where you live or what you have. When we do what God tells us to do with what we have, then one, it reflects the fact that we realize that everything that we have truly comes from him anyway. You know what? You got a job and you make good money. It's because God gave you the capacity to think. God gave you the capacity to do that job. Don't think that you're self-sufficient. Everything that we have proceeds from him. As a matter of fact, when Paul wrote in the book of Romans, he says, what has man received from him that he could not, what could man give God that he hasn't received from him? Everything. If I give him my life, guess where my life came from to begin with? It came from him. If I give him my marriage, where did marriage come from? Well, in the beginning, he created Adam and Eve. The first institution he created was marriage. If I give my children to him, guess who created the whole process of procreation? God did. You see, there's nothing that we can give him that didn't first proceed from him. And he says, if you'll trust me with it, trust me with it. He said, then I'll take care of your needs. When we begin to understand that, we can understand how God really loves us. But he closes out in this passage with the way that he talks about loving us that is sometimes difficult to receive. You see, God will discipline those who will not trust him as a father who loves his children. I think that last statement that God puts on this when we read verses 11 and 12, my son, do not despise the Lord's discipline or be weary of his reproof, for the Lord reproves him whom he loves and as a father the son in whom he delights. How does he describe that son? He says the son as in whom he delights. I want you to know beyond a shadow of a doubt, God loves you. But God deserves our obedience. God wants to bless us, but He will chastise us as a father does a son, not to destroy us, but to bring us back around. How many of you have ever experienced that kind of thing? Whether it was with your earthly parents or somebody. I had a principal once sometime that took me in, and I was in his office pretty regularly. We got to know each other. I won't say we were friends because there wasn't any real friendship on my side at that time in life. Now, after I graduated and got saved and a few years down the road, I was glad to see him. But he made that statement one time as he was getting ready to call my mother. He said, "Eddie, I'm harder on those that I care for, and I really think there's potential. I love you." Now, that may be an odd thing, you'd think, to have a principal or a teacher tell a student, "I love you." But, you know, I was blessed to have that. But I'm going to tell you, I said to him when he said he loved me that much and he was about to call my mama, "I wish you didn't care so much about me. It'd be just fine with me if you just put me off to the side and not even think about me." But you see, God won't do that. He loves you, and He disciplines. Just like Jerry experienced, he said, "Man, I was trying to do it my way, and I was trying." Do you believe God can bless you at any point, any time? Do you believe that? All right. He can, but He won't, because He wants the best for you. He wants the best for you, and He knows the best. And so He disciplines us. He makes it sometimes so that, man, we've got a plan. We're trying to work it out. We've been doing everything we can. Jared, do you ever have a plan? It didn't work out, did it? But it finally brought you to the point where you said, "Lord, I'll give this to you." Those are the words God's longing to hear from you. He's longing to hear you say, "Father, I want to give this to you." And then He wants to say, "Son or daughter, watch what I do now. Watch what I do." You see, it's not just about the money. But what happens is that many times the money reflects a heart condition. You see, it's like you can have different illnesses and you have symptoms of that illness. But if you don't ever really get down to treat, if all you do is treat the symptoms, then you don't ever really find a cure. But when you get down to the heart of the matter, then you're able to get rid of the symptoms because you treated the root of the problem. A lack of giving, a lack of trusting, a lack of tithing right now may be one of the symptoms that you have. But I want to tell you, that's not where the problem is. The problem isn't that you don't have enough. The problem is you don't trust the one who's asking you. He wants to deal with your heart. Will you let Him? Will you say today, as we come to the time of invitation, "God, I want to surrender and acknowledge You in all of my ways." Jerry shared with us that that happened with him in 1995. There was a defining moment. Today, right here, there could be a defining moment for you where that you say, "Lord, I don't understand it." You can admit honestly, "God, I'm scared to death. God, I don't know what it's going to be like if I give everything to You." But He loves you enough. If you'll do that, He'll meet you right where you are. But then He loves you too much to leave you there. You're going to begin to walk with Him, and you're going to begin to take a journey, and it's going to change things. Will you trust Him today? Let's pray. Father, we come to You today, and we know what you say in your word here, but sometimes getting the reality of what we hear in our ears and our mind to our heart, where we surrender to it, is a difficulty. Lord, I pray that today you touch the hearts of people, that today you help people surrender, Father, to bring to the altar whatever it is that they're having trouble surrendering and say, Lord, today I want to experience life on your terms. I ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen. If you will, please stand.